SecBI, SEC, capital B, capital I.com. What do you guys do?
We do advanced threat detection.
Advanced, all right.
Yeah, advanced actually goes two ways. It's protection against advanced threats, as well as the method that we do it is extremely advanced.
Okay. Now, is extremely advanced a code word for some secret squirrel stuff? Because I know Israel does it right. You guys get the right information. You have some super high operative guys. I'm not going to say where they used to work, but I'm always impressed with the technology coming out of there. Tell us how your guys are a little different than the average SecuritySec company, CyberSec.
So I think in security, you find that a lot of the vendors are producing alerts
yes.
based on anomalies. And these anomalies are just the beginning of a long hunt, a long chase. We call it now threat hunting. There's this buzz. It's a very expert-driven, long process. What we do autonomous investigation. And the word autonomous, like the autonomous vehicle and so on, means that our system does this investigation, this hunting, on its own.
Oh, wow.
So obviously there's a lot of artificial intelligence there. We're mimicking an expert analyst using multiple layers of machine learning, starting with unsupervised machine learning that allows us to cluster together, to group lots of events. It could be tens, it could be tens of millions of events over any amount of time, any amount of users inside the organization, group them together into one incident that is now provided to the analyst as a full scope description of a narrative, a story, where he can take the final decision about remediation.
This is really cool. This is different.
It is.
Here's what it sounds like to me. It sounds like not cybersecurity, it sounds like cyber offense. You're being defensive by being offensive. You're taking a really an active role and not just blocking the guy, hey, look, here's the log. Oh, great, what do I do about it? You're seems like you're going in there to attack the guy, not just block him. Find him, hunt him, shut him down.
Or see a cybersecurity deep dive investigation
on an automated
basis.
A lot of things can block it, but you got to investigate what it really is and where it's coming from. You know, especially in state level attacks.
Yes. So this is not only for state level.
Right.
It is. Yeah. It comes from different technologies that were developed in different places, of course. But this is not an offensive technology.
Okay.
We try to stay away from that. It has different connotations. It is a defense mechanism, but it's not prevention. It's not detection. It's what today the industry calls threat hunting.
Okay.
But I think threat hunting has a connotation that it's very difficult. And it is. It is very complex. You need to have experts there. And we think, or we know, we can do this much better. Our system can do 80% of the work for the analyst.
Wow.
And just he's left with the final decision making. It's almost like a few years back, maybe many few years back, you'd have DSS systems, decision support systems. It's not a cool name anymore, but basically that's what it is. You want the analyst to take the decision, but you have to support him, and you don't want him to be running around on a wild goose chase, tracking false positives
right.
all the day. You want him to be in front of the real incidents, facing the adversaries, and blocking and mitigating the damage that might be done
now,
before it's done.
My brain's smaller than hers, so I got to ask a little follow-up question, then I'm going to give it to you. In the threat hunting, are you finding the guy before he becomes malicious? Is that one objective? In other words, he did something, we're going to find what he did and how he did it, but can we prevent him from doing it with this method?
I think it's very hard to... If you want to prevent, you have to be in line.
Okay.
If you want to be in line, you have to take very, very fast decisions. Those decisions are either based on a whitelist, blacklist, or signature-based. That can do maybe 90, I'll give them credit. 90% of the
right.
work can be done in that way. If you want to find the rest of the 10%, and that's where you're going to get hit, you're going to have to do it offline. It's a lot of security analytics.
Okay.
Another buzzword that used to be thrown around, but that's what it is. We're analyzing billions of logs, metadata coming from other security controls, other security systems, in order to provide this full scope detection of an incident before it causes damage. The bad guy is a bad guy. The good guy is a good guy.
Yeah.
We just have to stop him before he makes this creates this damage.
So we spoke yesterday about the challenge of attribution because of the use of proxy servers and covers. What happens if you are helping a client and the bad guy is internal? So you're providing all this great data, structured data reporting to the analyst, but the bad guy is that person's client. Oh, sorry, excuse me, colleague, right? There's a conflict of interest there, right? Because people naturally don't want to be the whistleblower. How does your tool address that and perhaps set up a Chinese wall?
So what you're touching, I think, is a bit of organizational psychology almost. Would the analyst that knows that his colleague is doing something bad, would he report on him? I don't know. I'm gonna have to pass on that one. I hope he would. I mean, I really do hope if you see a friend doing something bad, you stop him. But it's a good question.
I mean, it's important to clarify that the tools and the reports you provide allow them to get almost to the finish line. And then you're correct. What happens thereafter is a matter of corporate policy and procedures.
Governance, yes.
The biggest threat at Fox back in the day was the VP of IT and his staff that were going in and hacking movies and doing all kinds of stuff, right? So the internal threat to me, from my world, because I come from physical security, is really just as important. And, if these tools help analyst one find out that analyst two is doing something, that's where we need to be. I mean, that's the investigative part. And then the companies can use that to take action internally, externally. It's very good. Now, what keeps you up awake at night? What do you worry about?
Except for my family, my kids, and look, we're a startup. We've raised money. The floor out there is full of companies that raised much more, doing tremendous marketing. I envy them. We have a fantastic product. What keeps me up at night is we have to prove that we're better. We have to prove that we provide value to our customers. We're doing that. It takes time. There's a lot of noise in the market. A lot of noise.
Yeah.
A lot of companies are telling similar stories, and we're always looking for a way to rise above that noise. We're succeeding. We're doing things in a different way. We'd love to have people, contact us and hear more about what we do. But that is the challenge, to rise above the noise.
Excellent. SecBI.com. Gilad, thanks for coming on Security Guy TV at Black Hat 2017.
Thank you.
Welcome to come on the show anytime from the studio in Hollywood. We can, Skype in from Israel if you want and
cool.
do an interview and stuff. And I feel good, right? It's one of those products where you go, you know what? This is different. I like it. Good
Thank
luck
you.
To you.
Thanks.
All right, back in a minute on SecurityGuyTV.com.